Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to be here. Been a good place to be. Want to make sure that before we start, our hearts and minds are clear. So does anybody have a testimony or a word, a song that they'd like to give for the Lord before we kick off? Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, we'll be there for a little bit, Lord willing, then we'll move somewhere else. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Our precious Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Dear God, we love you so much. We're thankful, Lord, for the salvation that you've extended to us. Dear God, we're thankful for your love and for your mercy and for your grace, dear Lord. We're thankful for your son, Jesus, and for the sacrifice that he made on Calvary's cross. Dear God, we just pray that you would have your way this morning. Dear God, we pray that each and every one that's here would be obedient to your Holy Spirit, dear God. And Father, we pray that our brothers and sisters in Christ would be strengthened this morning. We pray, dear God, if there be one here that doesn't know you in the pardon and remission of sin, dear God, we pray that you would speak to them. We pray that you would lay conviction upon them, Lord, and we pray that they would come and be saved before they leave here this morning, dear God. We just ask that you would have your way, dear God, and that your name would be glorified. We know that it's not about us, dear God, but it's about you and your son, Jesus. We love you. Guide and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friday, I lost a friend of mine last week, and Friday I had to go down to his viewing, and I was thinking, you know, about the life he lived, and I was thinking, you know, God, you know, just trying to, you know, talk to God, because you try to figure things out a lot. We try to figure out, you know, why things happen, because that we need to have stuff, or we think we need to have things explained to us. We think that we need to be able to wrap our mind around all of it. And really, that's not the case with us. God gave us faith. That we need to have faith in God and trust in God to know that, you know what? He's got it covered. He understands. The Bible says, "Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who at any time has been his counselor?" God doesn't expect us to understand everything. God expects us to have faith in Him to know that He's got everything taken care of. And that's hard sometimes, because when we go through situations in our life, you know, we want to understand or why that is happening, or, you know, why good things happen to good people. How many of us have ever asked that question? Man, why do good things or bad things happen to good people? And then why do the sorriest, just mud-sucking people in the world live to be 100 years old? Seems like they never have to worry about money or anything like that. That stuff's not important. That's what we need to understand. How long you live is not important. What your bank account says is not important. That you live in is not important. The kind of car you drive is not important. What we need to understand this morning is that the only thing that's important is, where does your soul stand with God? Amen. That's it. That's the only thing. All the rest of the stuff, yeah, you know what? That's because we get into it. And that's the things that we start caring about. The Bible says over in Proverbs, that there is a way that seemeth right to a man. There's a way. I mean, it's what old Jerem likes to do. Man, y'all ever plan anything? Does it ever work out? No. I'll tell you this quick story here. We're heading down to Charlotte, okay? I've never been to this funeral home or anything. I'm with me and a couple of my buddies. So we're driving, and the traffic's just horrible. And I look up here, and I see this tractor trailer hauling this D9 Dozer. And I said, yeah, that sorry guy right there, he's the one that's got this traffic back. I mean, it's backed up for miles, and he's going like 25 on the interstate. I said, that sorry guy up there is the one that's got this thing backed up. I said, I'll tell you what, we're going to get off. We're going to hit this back road. We're going to just zoom right on in, Charlotte. So we get off, and, you know, we get on this road in Mooresville or whatever. We start driving south. We're on that road for about 20 minutes, and, man, I'm like, phew, I didn't even need an atlas. Yeah, which nobody has atlases in their vehicle anymore because it's all got, you know, the thing, you know, some of you young kids have no idea what I'm talking about right now. But I'm sitting here feeling really good about myself, like, man, you know, we got off the back road, you know, I'm Davy Crockett, all this stuff. Well, it turns out we had to get back on the interstate for a little bit to get to where we was going. We get right back on the interstate, and who do I pull beside? That truck hauling that D9 Dozier. I'm like, we're 20 minutes here, but you know what? I thought that was a good idea. And, hey, you know, I mean, but that's a lot of what we do in our life. You know, sometimes we get off the path that we're supposed to go because we got a better idea and because we think that we know what's going on. When really all we need to do is just trust God and know that him that calleth upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. We just need to trust God. But Tim talked about this the other night. You know what? It's high time that we wake up. Amen. It really is. It's high time we wake up. And I think about my friend. He was 44 years old. He was a strong man, and he drowned in 3 feet of water. I'd say if you'd ever asked him how he would die, he would have never thought he would have died when he was 44 years old. Nor would he have ever thought that being 6'4", he would drown in 3 feet of water. But lost friend, let me tell you something. When God calls your number, when God decides that your race, however you've run it in this life, is over with, you're not getting out of it.
Amen.
You're not going to bargain with God. That's just the way it is. So you better be ready. I read about a man named Hezekiah. Came to him and said, hey, you're going to die. Get your house in order. How many of us can say this morning that we have our house in order? I'm not talking about the kitchen clean. I'm not talking about all the clothes picked up. We're talking about this house. Right here. Get your house in order. Allow God to get your heart right, because you can't get your heart right on your own. You might be in here and say, you know what, I'm going to start going to church. Hey, that's great. That don't save you. Now, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're here and you're hearing the Word of God, then that's great. But you're not going to clean yourself up.
Amen.
It's the blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross, and your acceptance of that is what cleans you up. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you better get your house in order. But it's high time. It's high time that we stop just walking through the world worrying about this or worrying about that. It's high time that we start worrying about our souls, and it's high time that we started worrying about other people's souls. That's our job. Do you know that?
Amen.
That when we get saved, when we accept Jesus Christ, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to go out into the world. And we're supposed to preach the gospel.
Amen.
We're supposed to go out and tell people about Jesus. Well, I'm not a preacher. Hey, you don't have to be a preacher to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't have to put on a shirt and tie to be able to go and tell somebody, man, I want to tell you how good Jesus has been to me. It don't take a diploma from Dallas Theological Seminary to tell people what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's preaching the gospel right there. How many of you told somebody about Jesus this past week? You preach the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. You know why we tell people about Jesus? Because we're concerned about Amen. Their souls. And it's high time that we start to get concerned about people. And I'm not telling you not to work. I'm not telling you not to spend time with your family or anything like that, because hey, the Bible says that, you know, we give you no new commandment, but that if a man would not work, that he shouldn't eat. Hey, we need to go out and work. We don't need to sit around and you know, look for somebody else to provide for us. If God blesses us with the ability to work, we need to. But you know what? Our number one priority, if we're saved, is to go out and take the gospel to a lost and dying world. And if you're not saved here this morning, your number one priority should be getting Jesus Christ in your life. Because it's high time, and it ain't going to be much longer before God comes back. I mean, I think about my friend, and I think when he woke up that morning, I'm going to go to the lake. I'm going to go have a good time. Just going through life. Never thought. And I don't know his heart. I don't know where he is. I mean, he professed Jesus Christ to me. I don't know his heart. But you know what? There's a lot of people who say, I'm going to go do what I want to do. I'm going to go get that job. I'm going to get married. I'm going to get X amount of dollars in the bank account. I'm going to get a bass boat. I'm going to get a F-250. All this. And then when I get good and settled, then that's when I'll start thinking about Jesus. It doesn't work that way.
Amen.
You might make it that long. You might not. I used to tell the high school kids that I taught all the time about 8 years ago, I got a call. Said that one of my best friends in high school had died. 33 years old. He'd be 41 now. And I used to talk to him about the Lord, say, hey, why don't you go to church? You know what? I'm having fun right now. I'm having a good time. And then when I get old enough, or when I sow the wild oats, when I'm done partying, when I'm done doing this, then I'll start going to church. Never made it. Came home, went to bed, got up about 4 o'clock to use the bathroom, went back to bed, stroked out. 5 o'clock in the morning, 33 years old. See, we're not given the promise of another day.
Amen.
Lost friend, you're not given the promise of another day. But if you would, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Be in verse 16. Said, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be, which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and he is not, and is not, rich towards God. Now what I'm talking to you about this morning is going through life not worrying about your soul, but worrying about everything else. Worrying about your job, worrying about your family, trying anything that you can do to keep from having to deal with Jesus Christ. We see a lot of people do that now. I will just have such an influx of things in my life. I will just spend all my time with the ball field. Oh, now, preacher, you started talking about the ball field, I ain't going to come back next week. Hey, you know what? If it's the truth, you deal with it.
Amen.
God never said your kids couldn't play ball. God never said that you can't go fishing. God never said that you can't go hunting. God says, don't put it before me.
Amen.
And if you're making an idol out of being down at the ball field, or if you're making an idol of shopping, or if you're making an idol of riding a motorcycle, or whatever it is, you're wrong. Repent of it and get back in the will of God. That's not me. That's God. That's what He says. Do you have idols in your life? Do you have things? If you're lost, I guarantee you, you do. Do you have things that Satan is putting in front of you that instead of, man, Jesus Christ died for me. Man, Jesus Christ loved me so much that He would die for me. And God loved me so much that He would give His only begotten Son, which is Jesus Christ, to die for me. Man, I sure do need to wash that car. Man, that was close. I was starting to sweat there for a little bit. Man, I was starting to think about Jesus there for a little bit. Oh, man, let's go wash that car. Because that'll get my mind off of it, right? No, it won't. Just what you're putting in front of it. And we see that this man right here is a very rich man. We see that God has blessed him, but yet he does not want to keep God in His knowledge. It goes back to that whole thing. Why does God bless bad people? Why does God not give good people everything that they want? Turn real quick to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 and 45. And we'll clear this up real quick. That way you don't have to ever ask again. How many of you have a Bible's red letter? Huh? Everybody, well, I'd say most of you do. Is this Matthew chapter 5, verse 44? Is that red or is that black? That's red, am I right? That means Jesus said it, right? That means it's true, right? Okay, so that means we don't have to question this, right? That's what he said. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now here it comes right here. I want you to watch this. For he maketh whose son? His son. He maketh his son to rise on the evil and the good. And he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Because he can't just make the sun rise. Well, he can. But he doesn't choose to. You know what that means? That means quit worrying about it. God's got it in control. Don't sit here and wonder why somebody who doesn't serve Jesus Christ is blessed with a big house and money and all that stuff, and why a person who's not blessed with that would serve Jesus Christ and why they don't have this thing. It ain't none of your business.
Amen.
But I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing right now. I wouldn't trade nothing.
Amen.
I wouldn't trade a car. I wouldn't trade a house for anything that I felt last Sunday night with people standing up and praising the Lord. So quit looking at all the material things out in the world and seeing and thinking that that's the important thing. Man, are you rich in here? Because I'm telling you, I wouldn't have traded that. You could have come and you could have given. Hey, I'll give you $10,000 to take that out of your heart right now. You just go on right down the road, buddy. I'm good. I don't know why God does that. You know what? I really don't care. It don't bother me. I get the bills paid. You see, my kids, they don't miss a meal. I don't ever have to call somebody for a ride to somewhere. I got two vehicles out in the driveway that work just fine. So why do I care what somebody else has? It's the way God made it. It rains upon the just and the unjust. He maketh the sun rise upon the evil and the good. That's the way God made it. I don't understand it, but you know what? I got enough faith to know that I don't need to understand.
Amen.
That all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. That's all you need to know right there. Doesn't matter what somebody has. All things work together for good that them love the Lord, and are they called according to His purpose? I know it's going to be okay one of these days. That's it. Turn back to Luke. But this man refused to acknowledge that it was God that blessed him. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is neither shadow of turning. Everything good that you have in your life comes from God. But look what he says in verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. My. We need to stop thinking about me if you're saved. We need to start thinking about other people. We need to start thinking about where other people are. We need to start thinking about, hey, you know what? That person right there is not saved. I need to go talk to that person. Oh gosh, what if they tell me no? Bible says, shake the dust off your feet and go on. It's not our responsibility to save the lost. It's not. It's our responsibility to take the gospel to them. Amen. And then it's their choice. Every one of us had that choice at one point in time. I'd heard people preach the gospel all my life. But you know what? Until I made the choice that I was going to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life, there was nothing that those people could do for me. And there's nothing that I can do to you except tell you what the Word of God says, and then you have to decide on whether or not you're going to accept Jesus Christ. But a lot of people are just going through life like this guy right here. Man, look how important I am. Look how successful I am. And we'll see that he really has he's got a real bad problem here. Look at verse 18. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Man, I have got a problem. I've got so much stuff that it won't fit in the barns that I have now. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, it's such a bad problem. I always wonder, why didn't he just keep the barn that he had and just build another one beside it and put it in there? But no, hey, this is so bad. I'm going to pull down the barn that I had and I've got to build a bigger one. Not content with anything. How many of you are content this morning? Amen. How many of you are content? Turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Are you content this morning? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. We'll back up and start in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at least your care of me having flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Paul's saying, man, I'm really thankful that you all took it upon yourself to take care of me and to supply for my needs. Not verse 11. I want this is where it hits home. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. What's Paul saying here? You know, Paul was a rich man at one point in time. And I think Paul looked back at that and said, man, what an idiot I was. Look at what I could have done for God in the position that I had been in. But what Paul says is, hey, you know what? I appreciate you taking care of me. But you know what? That stuff doesn't matter to me. My goal is to go out and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I know how to have nothing. I know how to have a lot. But I know that whatever I have is because of God, and so I'm going to be content. If we're putting job in front of God, we're wrong. Now, look, I know I'm not saying don't work, because I know Sister Joyce, she has to work on Wednesday nights. Can't get out of that, can you? Do you see anybody coming to Sister Joyce saying, you are sinning and you're out of the will of God because you ain't here on Wednesday night? I'm not saying that. But she's not putting her job in front of God. Just, that's her job. Be content. Be content. Be able to sit down and say, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Not, man, Lord, I could really use this or I could really use that, but just sit down and say, Lord, thank you. Don't want to ask you for anything. Don't need anything. Don't want anything.
Amen.
And you can say thank you even if your world's falling apart if He saved your soul. Because regardless of what goes on in your life, if your heart's right with Jesus, hey, you're okay. You don't have to worry about a thing. Because what is life? Is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. So let's take a look at the rich man here. We see that the man was not content. But then look what he says. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods to lay up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? The man's talking to himself. He's saying, soul, man, you've done a really good job. You're right where you need to be. But God says, you're a fool. What's the definition of a fool? I wrote that down. A person who lacks good sense or judgment. A person who lacks good sense or judgment. Now, how many of you, if somebody would walk up to you and say, you know what, you ain't got the sense that God gave a goose. How many of you would be kind of upset about that? Yeah, you would. Brother Dave, I like you, but you ain't got good sense. Good, man. I'm just kidding. I mean, but what's God saying here? That's what He's saying. You ain't got good sense. Look at what you're doing. You're looking at all this stuff that you have, and you're saying, man, hey, soul, rest. We're good to go. You're a fool because you ain't got good sense, because the things that you were making important are not important at all. And guess what? Tonight, your soul's going to be required of you. You spent your whole life trying to build up goods, and tonight, and you haven't built up one thing towards me. Tonight, your soul's going to be required of you. Then all this stuff that you've built up, then who shall those things be? Because you ain't going to take it with you. You're not. So what's important to you this morning? And this goes to lost and this goes to saved. What's important to you? Because at one point in time, or at one time in your life, your soul is going to be required of you. What's that mean, your soul's going to be required of you? Turn over to Daniel. Turn over to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. We read about a man named Daniel. He interpreted a dream for a king named Nebuchadnezzar. He became a ruler. He was appointed a ruler by Nebuchadnezzar. And then his son, Belshazzar, takes over. If you want to know what Belshazzar was like, we just read about him. Man who went through life accumulating, rich man, look at me, I will do this and I will do that. And so he has a feast. He says, I tell you what, I want you to go in and get those cups that are gold and silver and all that. You remember the stuff that we took out of the temple when we conquered Jerusalem and we hauled all of them off? I want you to go get those cups and I want you to bring them out and we're going to drink out of those. Look at the conquest that I've made. Look at how rich I am. Look at how great a ruler I am. Then all of a sudden he looks over at the wall. It said it saw the fingers of a hand beside a candlestick up against the plaster. It said it writes a sentence, or it writes words, four words actually. And he looks up and it says, Mene, Mene, Tikeo Aparson. No, I don't have a clue. I do, but I mean, Mene, Mene, Tikeo Aparson. So here's a man who was centered on himself. Look at me, going through life, think he's got the world by the tail. Anybody that I tell to do anything, they do it. Never thinking about where he stood with an almighty God. Until he sees that sentence written on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Aparson. And he gets so scared that it said that his loins shook in the joint and his knees beat together. I mean, I don't think that we're grasping this. I mean, if I'm standing here right now and all of a sudden y'all saw a hand over there writing a sentence, oh God. I mean, would you not? I mean, it's just a hand writing something. Many, many to kill a parson. So he says, hey, I want you to go get all the guys that we got. Bring them over here. Tell me what this says. Ain't none of them can. And then the queen, which was his mother, says, you know what? I remember this happened one time. Your daddy had a dream. And there was a fellow by the name of Daniel, and he come and he told him about this dream. So go get Daniel, bring him in here, and he'll tell you exactly what this means. He said, I'll tell you what, anybody who can tell me what this means, I'll put a robe on them, I'll put a gold chain around their neck, and I'll make them the third ruler of the kingdom. Okay. So they go get Daniel. Oh, Daniel, you've done a great job for my father. Now, if you look over there, there's a sentence. And if you tell me what this means, then I'll put a robe around you. I'll put a gold chain around your neck. I'll make you the third ruler of the kingdom. You know what Daniel said? He said, you keep all that. I don't want it. That's what we need to do. We need to stay away from the world. Say, no, you know what? I'm not going to take what the world has to offer. I'm going to do it because that's what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it because I want to follow God. I'm going to do it because I want to be a good witness to the people that I go to church with. I'm going to do it because I want to be a good witness for my family. And I want to leave a testimony behind when they lay me in the ground and my kids come and they say, man, Dad loved God. Man, Dad loved Jesus Christ. I don't know a whole lot else about him. He didn't have the best hairline in the world. He wasn't that great of a fisherman. But man, he loved Jesus. That's what Daniel says. You keep your robe. You keep your chain. You keep that stuff. I'll tell you what it means. Mene, mene. Mene means your days are numbered. Every one of us. This is to every one of us right here. Mene, your days are numbered. Then he said it twice, just so he would understand. The days of your kingdom are numbered. Every one of us, our days are numbered. Lost friend, your days are numbered. Now, I can't tell you when you're going to die, but your days are numbered. And God knows the very last breath that you're going to take. Mene, your days are numbered. Mene, your days are numbered. Tekel. You have been weighed. Tekel in the Hebrew meant you have been weighed. Tekel in Aramaic meant you are too light. Now, scales was a very important thing back then. And a lot of religions believe, especially the Egyptians, they believe that when you died, there was a set of scales when you crossed this river and the god Osiris set them, and you would get into the scale. And if you tipped the scale, it was okay for you to cross over the river. But if you didn't tip the scale, hey, you get to cross the river and But God is telling Belshazzar, you know what? Your days are numbered. Not only are your days numbered, but you've been weighed. You've been put in the balance of where you stand with an Almighty God. And you know what? You've been found wanting. You have been found light. If you would be weighed this morning on the scale of an Almighty God, would you be found wanting? Well, I don't know. How would I? Because every time you have the blood of Jesus Christ applied, and Jesus Christ is your Savior, when you get on that scale, whew, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler of men. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But you know what? If you get on that scale and you don't have Jesus Christ, you've been weighed and you've been found wanting. And at that point in time, at the end of your numbered days, and you're weighed and you're found wanting, then that's when you will hear, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." You're in the scale right now. Do you understand that? We all are on that scale. We all are being weighed. Which way's your scale going to go? That's what God says, tells Belshazzar. You've been weighed and you've been found wanting. Because you chose to glorify yourself. And that's what Daniel said. You saw what your dad did. You saw the type of man that your dad was. And you saw that your dad saw the miracles that God performed through Daniel. You should have known. And if you're in here and you've been coming here, or if you've been going to any church, I don't care. As long as they preach the gospel, but you've seen God work in this church. You've seen God work other places. You've seen people who couldn't even stand to wait for the altar call, wanting to get out the back door. I don't want to have anything to do with this. Get me out of this place as soon as possible. But now that they've accepted Jesus Christ, will come in here and say, "I don't want to leave. Look at the change that God has made in me." And you see that, and you see the power that Jesus Christ has to save your soul. And yet you do absolutely nothing about it. Just walk right out that door, go on outside, grab something. Monday starting, we'll go back to work. It'll be fine. I'll let it wear off for a little bit. I'll come back about a month later. See people like that? Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And that's what he's saying to Belshazzar. You saw your dad. You saw the miracles that was done. You saw when your dad threw the Hebrew children in the furnace. And he looked down and said, "Whoa, I see four. And the one that's down there is likened unto the Son of Man." You saw that miracle, but yet you still choose to fly in the face of God. Your days are numbered. And you've been waiting, you've been found wanting. And then a parson. Your kingdom will be divided. Now a parson, actually the singular of a parson is peres, P-E-R-E-S. So he used the plural form. So it's not just Belshazzar's kingdom of Babylon, but him himself would be divided. You're going to die. Tonight, you are going to die. Just like God told the rich man that this night your soul will be required of thee. That's what Daniel says, tells Belshazzar. Tonight, your soul is going to be required. You know what? Your soul will be required of you, not your body.
Amen.
Not your body. Your soul. Have you thought about your soul? Have you thought about who you really are? And the fact that it's going to live forever in one of two places? Are you putting the time and the effort into your soul. Are you putting the same amount of time and effort into your soul as you put into this? Because inside here is infinitely more important than what this body is. If you put on the scale, how would you work out? Turn back to Luke chapter 12. I ask whoever's going to come and get us a song. Luke chapter 12 and verse 21. We're going back to the rich fool. So is he. Verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Are you rich towards God this morning? Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and the thief breaketh through the steel. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where the moth and rust cannot corrupt, and the thief cannot break through to steal. For where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. You might say, what are you talking about laying up treasures? Where's your heart this morning? Have you given your heart to God? Because if you've given your heart to God, you just laid up a treasure in heaven. And then every time God puts it on your heart to do something, every time God puts it on your heart, hey, go over and talk to that person about Jesus. Or hey, go tell that person something that God has done for you this week. Man, that's another treasure that you lay up in heaven. But when you start, when this body becomes more important, and when you walk away from the things that God wants you to do the things that satisfy the flesh, that's your treasures that you're laying up down here. And one of these days, fire's going to come through and consume all of them. Amen. That's not me. That's what the Bible says. That they'll be put on a foundation. And the fire will come through and it'll test every work that you've ever done. And only those things that you've done for the Lord will remain. The rest of them will be cast out, burn up in the fire. If God calls your number today, are you ready? If God said today is your number, today you're going to have to get on the scale, would you be found wanting? You know why I won't be found wanting? Because I'd have to get on that scale. And it would tip. Say, man, you've been an awful dude. But you know what? About that time, old Jesus Christ would step up on there. Hey, wait a minute, let's reweigh. And it would tip to my side.
Amen.
To my good. Not because I've done anything great. Not because I'm such a great person, or not because that man God looks down and says, hey, man, whew, kind of great guy you are. No, because I accepted His Son.
Amen.
That's it. That's the only reason that scale will tip to where I'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, is because I've allowed Jesus Christ to take away my sin. And I've made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Have you done that this morning? You can. Say, I just want to make you Lord of my life. You don't have to have a PhD in theology. You don't have to understand everything about the blood sacrifice and all this stuff. All you have to understand is that your sin separates you from God. And if you want to be back in that right relationship with God, you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you need to accept the sacrifice that He gave to take your sins away. It's that easy. That's all you have to do. It's like He preached a couple weeks ago. It's free. It's a free gift. And it's right here for you to accept. All you have to do is come and accept it. We want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you would, please.